I'm all about the Holy Spirit taking over, and we don't speak, we don't speak. Thank you, sir. Awesome. We're going to make it short. Funny, but like Sam, I have a milieu. Just a few thoughts. Wasn't going to try to just be super formal, anticipating that perhaps with the leading of human beings singing, that we could then extend it and do what we just did and just worship the Lord. I just have a few comments here. I was raised in the Christian church in Pentecostal Messianic Church, Pentecostal Messianic Church from Ocala on 25th Avenue. I think they're still there. So I learned hymns that I didn't learn in Puerto Rico because I was not raised in much in the church in Puerto Rico. And they're pretty. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Again, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. In the last 33 years, before about to be, on numerous occasions I've elucidated on what took place at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. What happened at the execution stake of Messiah is a correct terminology, but in Christianity it's always been called the cross. And I learned, you know, the song wouldn't actually fit if we used the real name. So just like many songs won't fit if we don't use the King James. You have to use the King James for the music. In some ways, the King James was written in poetic English. They actually were very careful to make the things rhyme and so on. And when you do a literal translation and you don't have that as a goal, then you're going to pick the words that are appropriate, the words that are give the best meaning. In the King James Version, they tried to do that, but they also were very careful to pick words that rhymed, that the verses tend to lend themselves, especially the Psalms, tend to lend themselves to be put to music. So much so that when the first Messianic music was made, and people like Stuart Dowerman writing music and Joel Chernoff were among the first ones to write music about that, if you look at the scripture that they used the King James Version. They very much used the King James Version to sing. And that's appropriate. I'm an engineer because my mom said, you're going to be the engineer you were supposed to be when I had a band in Puerto Rico and I was wanting to do music. That's what I wanted to do, and she won. I'm not sad that she won. That she shipped me, actually took me herself via train from Miami, Florida to Shreveport, Louisiana. Dropped me off in one day, and the next day she he went back. And I was in at Barksdale Air Force Base with my aunt for a year. And my English was not good in speaking. I actually learned English in school. So the grammar and the writing and the taking tests, as long as they were not oral, I could pass very well. But my pronunciation was non-existent because we didn't really use, in the 60s, we did not use English as a general language by the population. Everybody spoke Spanish, but we were all being taught English. That changed like 10 years later after I graduated. Then Puerto Ricans now had been taught English since they first started school. And after 10 years, you know, if you're hearing it and so on, you start to speak it. So now you have these Puerto Rican singers and all of that that speak fantastic English. You know, like Mark Anthony, who's appeared in movies and so on, etc. They're J-Lo, right? J-Lo is a Puerto Rican woman, okay? All the way. Her accent is totally Puerto Rican when she speaks Spanish, but when she speaks English, and she's been in movies, okay? And she sounds like she was born in New York, kind of thing. I want you to know that something did happen that was very special to us at the cross, at the execution stake. No wonder the Apostle Paul makes the point to say that he preaches nothing except Yeshua and him crucified. Okay? And he says that this is a stumbling block for Jewish folks and nonsense to the Greek world, but to the believer, to the one that believes, this is the power and the wisdom of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God. This is Paul. I'm not quoting Yeshua, but I think Yeshua would agree. The power and the wisdom of God are in the cross. You can't forget the cross. In Christianity, which I was part of, so I'm not criticizing something I wasn't part of. I was a pastor there I got ordained in 1981 as a pastor. And I had ordained as a higher level, just below bishop. In Maryland, I were reordained in like 1986 or something like that. I don't quite remember. The reordination had to do with the aligning of the ministry to the ministry that is in Scripture. The ministry that is in Scripture is deacons, shamashim, and elders, zaken. So we were ordained as, in the first degree, sort of like deacons, if you know, that would be what the Baptists would call it. And the ones that were there a little bit longer than me were ordained as elders. Well, the word there in the scripture is episcopal. Okay, where you get the bishops from. A bishop is a translation of episcopal. It's in a church called the Episcopal Church. Okay, so they aligned that and reordained the entire church to agree so that we could say it's the Greek terms for that. Nobody understands that. It's like, so you were a pastor, but now you're a deacon? That's like going down, right? Going downhill. Anyway, that's what they wanted to do, and they did it. We were only there for a few years more. But that meant that we were in the ministry that's in the book. And so So I, when I was still in Mexico doing translation and teaching I translated the whole school of ministry at least 3 times. Okay. That means that I did the course twice, 3 times. Because you first have to say it, hear it in English, translate it to Spanish, and then you have to hear it in Spanish and translate it to English when the student has questions and so on. So in effect, those times that I was translating were the most intense times I've ever had in my life. Because you were the school was 8 hours. The folks from Tennessee couldn't speak a word of Spanish. So it started from when the first one got up. I had to be up when the first one got up to have breakfast because they wouldn't know what to order. They wouldn't know what to say. If we were staying with some people, then you don't make any orders. You just eat what they serve you. But if we're at VIPS, V-I-P-S, etc., or any of those places, VIPS was supposed to be an American restaurant in Mexico. We got more dysentery from VIPS than anywhere else. Never got any dysentery at all from eating with the people. Even though sometimes they served us the only chicken they had in the one time in the village. They killed the chicken and served it to us. It was such a poor place that there were flies. There were so many flies. And my children were like, you know, we don't eat with flies on the, right? There's, and so the kids are, and before we went in, I may not remember, but before we went in, I told him, I said, I did what my mom used to do to me. Here's the rule. Whatever they serve you, you eat. If it has flies in it, just chew them off and just eat it. Okay? If you can't, if you eat and you can't take past the first bite, you eat the first bite, politely excuse yourself to go to the restroom and stay a little while. But we are not going to in any way offend these people. They are giving us the very best. Even though there's flies, they're giving us the very best. That was the attitude for them, and that was the attitude for us. You can ask our children. They're not children anymore, but that was the case. And so we loved Mexico and all those things. And in the process, near the end, I was doing the work of a bishop. And I was about to be ordained a bishop, for real. And met Rabbi Levy, who prophesied in Tampa. And on October 31, 1993, he prophesied and answered my questions and opened the door for us that we've been trying for 5 years to leave the Church of God to go to the Messianic movement. And so we came to the Messianic movement, October 31. I said to him, please, nothing, I don't want anything to actually happen on paper until I have the chance to speak to the Chief Bishop of the Church of God to tell him that I'm resigning and that we're going to do this. We drove home. That was a Sunday. And on Monday morning, I get a phone call. Guess from who? I didn't want to talk to him on the phone, so we were trying to figure out how we're going to see him and get a phone call first thing in the morning. Can you meet us at the McDonald's in Alachua? When we get there at 5 o'clock. Has God ever acted like that in your life? I think that many of us have. And so we asked them on the way home, we prayerfully, both of us, asked the Lord, please, let us, we want to depart in good ways. We don't want to be, but the reality is we've been trying for 5 years. We've been praying for 5 years. Let us go, Lord. And when he does let us go, then we have tears in our eyes to have to say goodbye to people. And then the question, are we going to drive to Cleveland, Tennessee? It's 30 minutes north of Chattanooga. So it's 5 hours. Back then, it was 5 hours. Not 5 hours there now, but because I'm older. I don't drive as fast, but it's 5 hours and then 2 hours to Chattanooga and another 30 minutes to Cleveland and exit 25 inside I-95. And so we weren't sure. I was a professor here and all those kind of things, so didn't know how are we going to, Lord, how are you going to work this out? I don't want to call him on the phone. So we got home, went to bed, and first thing in the morning, ding, can you meet us? Tony, can you meet? This is him calling me. Can you meet me at the McDonald's in Alachua? To this day, when I drive by that McDonald's, it's special. I don't like McDonald's, but it's special. And we got to postpone the meeting. They got there late. They got there so late that they were going to Auburndale and they were going to have a service that night. So he asked me, he met me there. It was 5:30, almost 6. Said, can you meet us instead on Thursday day when I return back? Which we did. And on that Thursday day, we resigned from the Church of God. When I did, He had tears in his eyes. And so did we. Even though we had asked the Lord for 5 years to let us go. It will cost you something to do whatever the Lord wants done. It always costs something. And so even to do the right thing, sometimes his timing is not our timing. His timing was perfect at the cross. His timing was perfect at the cross. If we read the account of the Gospels of him talking about this event, when he's talking about it, everyone is going, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. You can't be... Do you realize that the apostles also, like the rest of the people of Israel, were looking for the Mashiach to be the conqueror? They were looking for Mashiach ben David, the king, who's going to turn us back into freedom and all those things. But he's coming as Mashiach ben Joseph. And they didn't understand. To this day, Isaiah 53 is a dilemma and a big question mark for the Jewish people. Okay? Very difficult to explain it because it's so precise and Yeshua fulfilled it so precisely. So if you use Isaiah 53 and read it, they let you, if someone from Jewish faith let you read it, and you read it, because they don't read it. It's skipped. It is skipped, okay? Look at all the Haftarahs. Not the Haftarah, none of them. They skip from 52 to 54. Isaiah 53 is a dilemma. And if you let them read that, it's probably the first time some people read it because they never heard it before. And then if you say, can I read you the gospel? Can I read you from the Brit Hadashah? And you read them from the Brit Hadashah, from the book of Luke, for example, and from the book of Matthew, on the account of what happened at the cross. And they are dumbfounded. You know, that chapter begins with, who hath believed our report? You ever wonder why? Why would Isaiah begin such a chapter? Who hath believed our report? And then goes on to talk about the suffering Messiah. Look, if you're looking for the freedom, you're looking to be restored, and you're looking to get rid of Rome, like you're looking to get rid of the Greeks and you're looking to get rid of the Babylonians. It's been happening every so often. And the mindset is, we got to get out of this place. It's the last thing we ever do. Remember that? We got to get out of this place. We got to get out of this thing. So the apostles, as well as the people from Israel, were continually expecting him to set up the kingdom. And when he started talking about what's about to happen, they didn't like it at all. It was like, what are you talking about? That's almost what they're asking him. What are you talking about? What do you mean that you're going to die? He's like, well, Messiah's not supposed to die. And remember the last question they asked him in Luke at the beginning of the book of Acts? Would you at this time restore the kingdom now that he's resurrected? Would you at this time? And he said to them, he didn't say he was not going to do it. He just said that these things are given to my Father. When my Father's ready, it will be done. So he didn't say, no, I'm not going to restore the kingdom. But he didn't say yes either. He didn't say yes right now, which is what they're talking about. And instead, he said, instead, he begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts like 2 and 3 and 4, or 1, 3 and 4, 5, etc. Talks about the Holy Spirit. You need to stay here because it's going to be a change. You're going to be endowed with power from above. And you then will be able to be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Just the milieu. All of that becomes possible because he went to the tree. Because he went to the tree, he became the Passover lamb. And the actual Pesach that really matters to us, especially to Gentiles. Okay? The real Pesach that matters is what that Passover lamb did at the cross. Because we were transported from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of heaven. And everything is changed. You never experienced that. Like many people who were raised in the faith, etc. My children accepted the Lord at age 4 or something like that. Marilyn remembers exactly when each one of them did it. She can tell you the day, the moment, and when Amelise, for example, said she wanted Yeshua in her heart. It changed things for you. And it changed things for me. So what took place at the cross? Why is Golgotha the place of the skull, which is what it means? Why is it so significant? Significant because that's the place. And when he died, that's the hour that he triumphed over Satan. Many people say, oh no, the triumph was at the resurrection, see? And there's some evidence for that because Paul refers to it as as you know, if that hadn't happened, then this and that other would have happened. But notice that Yeshua, when he raised the cup, he said, take this and drink ye all of it, for this is the cup of the covenant that I'm making with you. Okay? And you to remember this, because when you drink the cup, you remember my death. Okay, the resurrection hadn't happened, but I want you to know here, I think he knew. He could have said, you remember the resurrection. Others do, but he didn't. He said, remember my death. The reason we need to remember his death is because that's the place where we were set free. And like the children of Israel that celebrate Pesach as a festival of freedom, we also celebrate the death of Yeshua, the Pesach of the Passover, as the festival of our freedom. Our freedom, we are free to worship the Lord. We are free. We have the capacity. We say that in the prayer, he being merciful forgives iniquity and does not destroy, which is from the Old Testament. Frequently, he turns away his anger, does not stir up all his wrath. That's also from the Old Testament. But then the second half is strictly from the New Testament. And it's quoting 1 John. If we confess our sin, we know that he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us. Notice the wording, from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is what happens when we, being humans, continue to be humans. When we don't crucify the flesh, unrighteousness happens. It's also called iniquity. It's also called iniquity. Are you exempt from iniquity? If iniquity indeed is self-will, how often are you exempted? How often do you have to fight with your self-will? You know, like the Lord wants to do this and you don't. It's kind of inconvenient as it can be. Lord, come on now. This is not the time. You get the unction to give all this money in this, the offering, and you're broke. You open the wallet and ain't nothing there. Okay? Now you can use credit cards, right? But I am actually not sure how we should be using credit cards for that, because credit cards going into debt, and the Bible has plenty to say about debt. Well, they give it to you for a month. Okay, well then, if you pay it within the month and you never pay it a cent of interest, then you got the money for free for 30 days. But if you pay interest, that was debt, my friend. That was debt. So, we are free. And the ones who the Lord has made free, they're free indeed. So, yes, we can join our brothers and sisters in Judaism and say the festival of freedom. But their freedom goes to Exodus. Our freedom goes to Golgotha. Their freedom is from Egyptians. Our freedom is from Satan. Okay? Their freedom took place by them leaving the location they were and to marry the Lord and become a people. Our freedom is similar, but we're not taken away. All of a sudden, you act a little more weird. All of a sudden, you're not cursing all the time. All of a sudden, you're acting like the Bible means something. And people around you say, what happened to you? Especially at the university, when that happened to me, people wanted to know what did you get into? What are you into? And what I'm into, I'm still into. I'm into the Lord. I don't really have much else to say. This Pesach season is a memorial. What's the memorial of? The memorial that I am no longer serving Satan. I slip around all here and there and get very self-centered and selfish and commit iniquity. Okay? Most of the time, though, I'm not doing a violation of the Torah because I don't do that as much as I can. It has to be really caught. And you are the same way with you. We're not breaking any of the commandments, right? Typically, but we give the Lord an excuse when he wants something done. And we start giving excuses. Oh, no, you don't really mean that, do you? Lord, didn't you know that I can't do that right now? I don't have any money. I can't give any money. I can't. You know, we start the I can't. And real obedience comes when we can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. I don't know how it's going to work out, but yes, Lord. And in a sense, that's what today was for me. We were working on music, on the service. We had one Thursday. And I honored it in the afternoon by not doing any work. But then I didn't want to do any work Thursday night either. So really, one day, we put everything together in one day. And by the time that it got to be time to practice, it was after 9:30. And I asked him, said, do you want to play the videos and sing with them? Bill said, no. No. Let's just practice with the keyboard. We didn't finish till 11:30. I feel like I really just abused Bill and Lynn, and et cetera. And I trust, though, that we were them and us trying to do something special for today and bring a gift that he would be proud of. It seemed like there were others in that same boat. We all converged today and brought, like a gift, brought something kind of unplanned and kind of last minute. And we practiced for this. We couldn't do it a month ago. We had to do it last night. Some of the music is difficult. At one point, Lynn was trying to sing Carrie Joby's song. Look, has this puppy look, like, no way I can sing that high. And I said, oh, I can't either. So we actually brought it down. Here it is. Because we can't either sometimes. Anyway, thank you all. Thank you all for your attendance and your participating in all of this. May you have an awesome festival of freedom. So at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart flew away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the way. B'shem Yeshua Mashiachinu. Amen. Yeah, applause, okay. Thank you.